At Psalm 103, so it's just the next page over probably. And we're going to turn back and go to 1 Chronicles, but we'll look first Psalm 100. Most of you probably memorized this in Sunday school when you were a kid or vacation Bible school. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now you read verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You read verse 4. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This is a psalm of praise. It's messianic. It deals with the kingdom. But its applications are many to us even still today. We know the Lord is one who made us and not we ourselves. And all of us like sheep have gone astray. And those who are saved are the Lord's sheep that he owns and he takes care of. He's our great shepherd. Look at 103. I want to read the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that promise, don't you? First Chronicles, chapter 16. Again, reading with verse number 7 through verse number 12. This is David writing a psalm of thanksgiving after he brought the ark back into the city. He danced in front of the ark and rejoicing and celebrating that the ark had come home. You'll remember that the gentleman had touched the ark and was struck dead, so they put the ark in a tent in a home. And now David has brought the ark into the city. And he says in 1 Chronicles 16:7, that on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord under the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Now let's go to the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 through 18. Beginning with verse 16, there is a long list here of what are called imperatives, which are commands. In the Greek language, an imperative is a command. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18 is all we're going to read. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. You can't always give thanks about every situation, but you can give thanks in any situation you're in because God has kept you and he can deliver you, he can bless you. Always something you can thank him for. Now, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and we remember from elementary school the study of Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims and the Indians. I can still remember in elementary school, I went to Ebonport Elementary School. That was combined school from the old one-room schoolhouses in Newport and Ebenezer Community and Indy Hook Community. And they closed those little one or two-room schoolhouses and built the nice brick schoolhouse there, and it went through the eighth grade. And you didn't go to kindergarten in those days. You went first grade. You graduated from eighth grade and went to high school. And before I got to the eighth grade, they had started middle schools and junior high schools. And so I went through the sixth grade at Ebbingport and then Sullivan and then Rock Hill High School. But at Ebbingport, we had chapel every week. We had a little lady, Miss Trumbull, who would come, a little short Jewish lady, and she'd tell all the Bible stories, and she was animated when she would tell them. And I used to think of Miss Sparkle when I think back about Miss Trumbull. They were similar ladies in a lot of ways. And we had to dress up and do plays, you know. We had to cut out the little pilgrim hats and collars, and some of us got to play Indians with a feather, you know, and that sort of thing, and had the first Thanksgiving dinner. Well, Washington became president of the United States, our first president. He declared Thanksgiving as a day of prayers and supplication and a day for us to seek forgiveness for our nation. And then Lincoln established Thanksgiving as the last Thursday of November as a day to assemble in churches and give thanks. In 1941, Congress made Thanksgiving a national holiday. And you think back to the time of the Pilgrims, they landed in 1620, and the first winter in Virginia and that eastern coast of America, half of their people died from the cold and the influenza and the problems that spread among them in disease. Well, by the time they got around to the fall harvest after that first year, they were very thankful to have survived, to have been able to, by that time, build shelters. They had gotten to know some of the Indian tribes that were close to them there and had learned from them how to plant corn. And so they were thankful. And they were also, the Pilgrims were very thankful that they could be a witness for Christ to the Indian people. That was part of their purpose in coming to America to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You go back and read the Mayflower Compact, and you'll see all of that is written in the compact. Now, they were thankful when they had that first Thanksgiving. And we ought to be thankful all the time as Christians. I wonder what you're thankful for in particular tonight. Would you raise your hand? Ira will come to you with a microphone. Randy Holloway over here. If you got a verse, you can read it. If you want to quote a verse, you can do that if you got one.
Well, first of all, I want to thank my brother Dick Clark for picking those two songs out, because that certainly set the tone for the evening.
Amen. Ira picked one of them.
Sometimes my wife and I have had to sit on the back porch and just list countless blessings that we have, because every now and then you get down in the dumps and you kind of get through these pity parties, and then all of a sudden you realize that the blessings that you have are far outnumber the problems Amen. That you have. And I don't mean to minimize the problems that some of us are going through by any means, because some of our people are really suffering terribly. So, but the verse that I kind of been thinking of this last 3 or 4 months is Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Mm. And I came to kind of understand that no matter what the situation I might find myself in, it's not by my own right or own work or whatever that I have done this or done that. It's because the Lord has put me in a situation or allowed me, because really I deserve nothing. And so I'm very thankful for what I have: family, wife, friends, church family, good preaching. So.
Amen. Good job. Who's next? Miss Candace is on the back. Oh, Miss Sue's up here. Let me get Sue right here while he's up here.
I'm not going to stand. It's funny. Randy just read the verses that I had. So I'm going to finish with the last two that I was going to read, and that is after the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. This has been an unusual year, and I think everybody feels the same way. And I got thinking about all of the things from the election on through that have hit us. I mean, we started the year with COVID. And all I can think is that God is sovereign, and I'm so thankful that no matter what happens, I can trust in him to know that, you know, we prayed hard for that election. We met early Sunday mornings and prayed for the election.
Right.
And God answered that prayer, not the way we wanted. He said no. Mm-hmm. And I think knowing he's sovereign and knowing he makes no mistakes is a wonderful thing to be thankful for.
Amen.
Glad you mentioned that, Ms. Sue.
Candace.
His sovereignty builds faithfulness.
Candace. Thought we was going to get two guys with microphones, but we'll get ours speeded up a little bit.
I hate microphones. All right, well, both of them took the verse that I was going to do, too. But then I had a different one, my life verse. I have it written down, so just read it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There was a lot of times I had to trust God, even through this past year. So I wasn't going to cry. Kind of started with Noah's seizures. You know, that was a very uncertain time and very troubling time. It really kind of put life in perspective for me. We never knew what was going to happen. We didn't expect that at all.
Right.
And it also made me compassionate towards other people going through the same thing. I found Facebook groups, and I found friends here in Fort Mill, even one that went to Noah's daycare when he was born, that went through the same thing. So it definitely made me compassionate towards them and able to help other people and them help us. Also, this may not be really important, but last year I had a really rough class at school. And then just with that and dealing with my mom last year, trying to on the phone. I mean, I was on the phone a lot with her. And that was hard dealing with that, being so far away. And then, you know, her passing away a couple months ago. I just thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me this year. He's been faithful since my mom passed away, but by providing a loving church family, my husband, my kids. He was faithful in giving me a sweet class this year that enjoys coming to school and that loves it, and parents are good. It's just been a big blessing for me this year with that. He's also allowed, he's been faithful with allowing Noah to be healthy this year and to be cleared of all the medicines and all the hospitalizations and doctors. And that was a big deal. This happened a couple years ago, but he was also been faithful with allowing Rob's mom to get saved. That's probably the biggest answer to prayer that we had for 10 years here. So even when I didn't understand God's plans in my life, I still had to trust. So that's been the biggest thing. Oh,
sorry. I'll go ahead and go to here. I've been thinking a lot about just creation, and we've been going through a little series off and on in this adult Sunday school class. So what I've been thinking about is a psalm. It's in Psalms chapter 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Just thankful that God would even consider to create us and create the earth and just to have a relationship with us.
Amen. Who else? Right, one on both sides.
Do I have to stand?
No,
okay,
you don't
good.
Have to stand.
I think it's funny the verse that everyone is saying was what, the first one that popped in my head because Mark's dad says that verse with the boys. Anytime they see each other or talk on the phone, his dad will start it, and they'll say a line, and they go back and forth, and that's how he helps them memorize verses. So I thought that was a great verse, and it is true that I'm so thankful for God's mercy. I won't be here today without it. But my other verse is Isaiah 55, I think it's 6 or 7, 5 or 6, I can never get them right, but how his thoughts are not our thoughts, mm-hmm. and his ways are not our ways, and how they're higher than ours, and because there's so many times raising the boys and just in life in general that I'm like, what is going on? Lord, what are you doing? And even looking back on Jake's life, I have a lot to be thankful for because what happened yesterday, I would have never saw that with Jake when he was a teenager. And I'm so thankful for God's mercy in Jacob's life and how ways that I thought Jacob should have went, I'm glad God had better plans and better, and his ways worked out a lot better than mine ever would. But thankful for a daughter-in-law that loves Jacob, that loves being in the ministry, shy like I am, but she's got a tender heart and we love her. And then also for Joel's fiance, I'm thankful for her. And then obviously for Mark and our family and just my salvation most importantly. But I just have a lot to be thankful for this season.
Amen.
And I have a sign I bought at Hobby Lobby, and this will be it. And I hung it on the very end of our door, because that's the only place I could find as I'm going down the hall. And it's right before our bedroom, and it says, there is something always to be thankful for. So anytime I'm frustrated, I'm going to bed, I'm like, oh, it's been a rough day, or just frustrations, I always see that sign before I go to bed. And I do have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
I'll go ahead and speak. Y'all said the verses. But I like what Pastor read. Give thanks unto the Lord upon his name. The people. Like Gwen said, Grampy teaches my boys about how his mercies, you know, and great is thy faithfulness. He does it like that commercial, great is thy faithfulness. But basically, I want to get to the point of what I'm thankful for tonight. One is, like Frank said, to be born in a country where we got freedom. Two, just dealing with bus kids and seeing families that you open the door and you can smell marijuana or you can see all these things. And I'm like, Lord, you allowed me to be born into a Christian home. And I'm not sure I would have come to church like some of those kids do without a parent to bring me, right? So I'm thankful for that. So I'm thankful for a freedom and then I'm thankful for a family that pointed me to Christ. And for pastors like our pastor that are faithful, that I learned about what Jesus did for me so I could be saved. And then y'all laugh at this, but Gwen is an answer to prayer. I know a lot of y'all pick on me,
sure.
But she really is. I'm not just making that up. And in Charlotte, I asked the Lord, I want to marry a Christian, but I need her to be pretty. And y'all have heard that story. And Lord, I'm trying. She's poking me, but that's all right. And Lord, I'm trying to live for you, but I need help. That was a literal prayer. And it was less than 1 to 2 weeks later, I met Gwen. So I will go to my deathbed knowing she's an answer to prayer.
Praise the Lord.
And then I'm thankful, like she said, you know, as parents, sometimes you're naive and you think you got all that, you know, you think you're headed in the right direction and you're doing your best, but God overcame our lack of all our mistakes, raising our boys. He's helped to soften that and to turn our boys' hearts towards him, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
I've been reading through some of the harder books, I think, in the first part of the Old Testament, but I've been reading Deuteronomy right now, and Moses has been recounting all the things that the Hebrews have been through and how they've gone through the wilderness and how God has blessed them in this way and blessed them in that way. And how many times they've failed and how they've, you know, they've built their molten calves and they've complained and they refused to go into the promised land and all these different things that have happened in their life. And Moses knows at this point that he's not going to get to go into the promised land. But anyway, today I was reading and it said in chapter 8 of verse 11, it said, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And I'm just so thankful that we have a God that no matter how many times we mess up, that he's still there for us.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for a brand new grandbaby and the grandbabies that I already have and another one on the way. I'm thankful for this church, and I am thankful for what I think I see happening now in this church. You know, Jacob, even the bus kids, like, you know, they can be unruly or whatever, but some of those kids, you know, we're in Master Club, I can see those kids growing. I mean, like, the things that they say, I mean, we had a couple of kids that said they tried to start a Bible study in there. In their neighborhood, you know, and it's like, what a blessing. And they were like, but nobody wanted to come. And it was like, that's okay. You know, it's like that, you know, you're trying, and you know, that's life. You know, people a lot of times don't want to know, but it's encouraging to me, you know, to have those kids come in and to see the life that they're bringing in. And they are our hope that if the Lord gets a hold of these children, then, you know, they could make a real difference in our community.
Amen.
And so I'm just thankful for what the Lord is doing, you know, in our church and in our life as well.
One of those little boys, one that wears a suit, what's his name? Amari. He wanted to come the other day. He didn't wait on the bus. He jumped the fence and came on his own.
Amen. Anyone else?
Anybody else want to share what you're thankful for?
Okay, I'll give one myself.
We'll give it to Samuel when you're through. He's right behind you with
okay.
A hand up.
I don't know what I should be thankful for. There's so many. But every year we have a watch night service when we enter a new year back in India. And here also this year, as a group of Telugu believers in Charlotte, they also gathered together to have a watch night service. So every watch night service, we'll try to pick a verse. It's printed on a small card like this. These are all scriptures. All the promises in the Bible are printed, and everybody gets. It's not a lottery, but they just pray and pick one verse, so that would be encouraging for them for the whole year. So this is my fifth year that I'm here in the United States, and most probably the last year on the visa. So if something, another visa is possible, then I might be able to stay for longer times. So I was thinking about what the Lord would be having for me for the coming year. And the promise that I got this year on the day that I picked on January 1st was from Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thy way, I'll read that. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Mm-hmm. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's verse 4 and 5.
Amen.
So, that was my favorite verse even since my Sunday school days. And I believe that he's going to do something which would extend my stay here. That's one thing. And for a family, it's from Jude 2, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you. So that's another verse I picked for the family. So I'm really thankful for the Lord for what all he has given me all these times, a good family, kids, and good church, pastor, good Christian friends here, which I'm really blessed. I don't miss my country. I mean, my fellowship back in India, how we enjoyed a Christian family. Right? We were more like blood relations were less important than the Christian brothers.
Right.
That was our fellowship back in India. And it's the same thing here I see. So I'm really thankful for all the things what God has given me on this past 5 years. Pastor always says, better not deserve. I don't deserve so many things, but yeah. He's wonderful.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. And by the way, that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, was my choice. And that is a testimony in itself. If you read through the words in that song, it says everything that we need to thank God for. I thank God personally for a compassionate church, a compassionate pastor. I mean, that is obvious from some of the things that have been going on lately. I love my church. The church is the family, not the building. Okay? And Lamentations 3 is the source of that greatest thy faithfulness. Wonderful chapter. And the thing that I thank God for most is the fact that he gave his only begotten son to die for me.
Amen.
When I was an enemy of his. We were born with a sin nature. I had that sin nature. God sent his only son to die in my place. And that's what I'm so very thankful for. I can't think of anyone who would give an only son to die for somebody like Hitler, or Mussolini, or even Joe Biden.
Okay. All right, let me read you a couple other verses. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Isaiah was dealing with Israel suffering from ingratitude. He said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I've nourished up and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they've forsaken the Lord, they've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward." They were not thankful. They did not appreciate what God had done. Jeremiah 2 and verse 1 through 8, the words of Jeremiah, verse 2 says, "To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, to the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and the carrying away of the Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations." And then in chapter 2, he said that Israel had turned away from the Lord, and they had hear the word of the Lord, verse 4, "O house of Jacob and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they're gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? It led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwell. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination." Verse 8 says, "The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit." And there's many in our nation today that either don't know the Lord or who have forgotten God. They're going through all kind of chastening and trouble, but they're not saying, you know, where's the Lord? Why is God not in my life? What do I need to do to get back right with the Lord? We should be the most thankful people on the earth. Scripture teaches us to fear not over and over and over. We as a Christian people should not complain. We should be thankful. But the wealthy, spoiled society we live in, they're angry about others prospering. They're complaining because they want more and more, rather than giving God praise for what they have and what He has given them. Scripture characterizes the latter days in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning not in control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. So we see the characteristics of those things often with people who are not thankful, people who don't give praise to God, people who don't consider, and they're not content with what they have. The Bible says a man has much who is content with what he has. And contentment with godliness is of great gain. Israel had yearly ceremonies, festivals, feasts that reminded them of things they were to do to be right with the Lord. And the Feast of Tabernacles was a feast of thanksgiving. And they built little booths like they stayed in for shade and to protect them from the weather when they were in the wilderness traveling from place to place. And they build booths and stay in them during the feast. They rejoice in redemption. They are thankful for what God had done for them in the past. So these things, just like Thanksgiving for us, is a time to remember to be thankful. A time to remember to thank God. A time to regather in our churches and celebrate God's goodness. A time to refresh ourselves with a feast. There's time for fasting and prayer, and there's time for feasting. And Thanksgiving is a time for a feast to give thanks. Now, whether you eat turkey or ham or any of those things, I could make a meal off just dressing and gravy, you know. I love that stuff. And but whatever we eat, let's be thankful. And let's take time to go around our tables and get each person to say what they're thankful for and to have time of prayer. Now, I don't want you to pray like I had an aunt that was a Church of God woman. She'd pray so long the food would be cold and her husband get mad and start cussing, you know. So that was tough on us kids, you know. Don't pray so long people get mad, but go around the table and let everybody pray. It's a time for righteous, religious celebration, not secular celebration. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch a football game on Thanksgiving Day or anything like that, but don't make that your day. Don't make that the purpose of your day. Make the purpose of your day to give thanks to God. It's a time of recommitment to serve the Lord, a time to restore our spiritual heritage, a time to recite our faith to our children of why we have Thanksgiving and what the celebration is about. And it's a time of reverence as we praise the Lord. This is a celebration at the fall season, the time when the harvest is done, just before the winter, when all the crops have been gathered up to be prepared, we have the Thanksgiving celebration. Many years ago, when churches were mostly with rural people who worked in the fields for a living, they couldn't have a revival until the harvests were over. Get all the wheat in, get all the corn done, everything. And once they got all the harvesting over, then they could have a revival meeting at their church. And that's a time of thanksgiving and rejoicing. And there are many things that rob us of our joy. Sin robs us of joy. People's attitudes can rob us of joy. Circumstances we go through can rob us of our joy. Material things will rust, bust, and collect dust. And if you put confidence in them, they'll rob you of your joy. And but that can be restored with the Lord. Many of you know the story of the bombing of Pearl Harbor in World War II. December 7th, 1941. a day that Roosevelt said will live in infamy. Just 18 years prior to that, in September, Japan had almost been destroyed by a massive earthquake. The New York Tribune called it the greatest disaster in recorded time up till then. Almost every building in Yokohama, Japan was destroyed. Three-fourths of Tokyo was burned. 300,000 people died. 2.5 million were homeless. Disease and despair spread through Japan. Hoover, as president, sent the Red Cross and put $10 million American dollars back then into aid in food and clothes and medical supplies for Japan. Sent multitudes of volunteers. The Japanese people bowed to the Americans as a thankful people who were grateful for their help. Correspondent Walter Kierman wrote in the International News Service, "Japan will never forget." 18 years later, they unprovokedly bombed Pearl Harbor and the United States of America. People forget. Sadly, Christians forget to be thankful to God every day. Thank you for being here tonight. Thanks for sharing testimonies about thankfulness. We appreciate you being here. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. We ask you blessings on this church and on all these families here and who are watching live streaming. May we all celebrate a good Thanksgiving with great thanksgiving to you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Diana, play through one verse.